Well, today I am continuing on, or we are continuing on, in a small series that we have started here entitled, We Come as Guests Invited. And this is part two, as is in your scriptures, and this deals with being a guest. Now, before I begin into the scriptures, I thought it would be good if we actually gave being a guest a definition. Because as I went on the internet and was looking, because it was like, you know, sometimes words don't mean what they used to when I was a kid. Meanings change, okay? And I think it's weird because, you know, I used to think as fat as someone being heavy, okay? Well, somehow it's taken on a connotation of being really good. Oh, that's fat. And that's a good thing. Well, according to my doctor, it's not. Because it can cause heart problems and diabetes and a bunch of other stuff. So again, it comes down to the point that words change meaning over time. And I look at that and I think to myself, okay, what does it mean to be a guest? And I was amazed at the just couple of definitions that I got from Webster's. You know, and we all know Webster's, and I'm not talking David and Amy. We're talking Webster's Collegic, okay? And it says this, definition 1A, a person entertained in one's house. Would you agree with that? Yes, so would I. Number two, a person to whom hospitality is extended. Would you agree with that? Yes, so would I. And the third one is this, a person who pays for services of an establishment such as a hotel or a restaurant. My buzzer goes off. That's not a guest. That's a patron. Okay, you are paying for something. You're not a guest. When you leave, there's a bill. Okay, I have never been to someone's home and been a guest and got a bill for doing so. Ruth Ann's cogs are turning. might this work for me? No, it won't. The fourth definition, that's three definitions in one. Two of them are okay. One of them is kind of out there. But then the next one I got off of the web. This is Google's definition of a guest. Okay? A person invited to visit the home or partake in a function organized by another. That's not a guest. And there's a reason that's not a guest. Because if you are invited, does that make you a guest? What makes you a guest? We're going to talk about that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. I'm going to remind you of the scripture that this is taken from. And we're going to read the whole thing again. We're going to do that today, and we're going to do it next week. Because I want us to have this ingrained in our brain. Matthew 22, verses 2 through 14. Now, biblically, Jesus gives us a very different definition of what it means to be a guest. And why does he give us a different definition? Because he is God, and he literally defines the terms. Okay? We need to understand that. God defines the terms, not us. So as we look to God's word, this is what he says. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. And they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. God here, and this is Pastor Rich's paraphrase of a definition, is those who are predestined to come. Okay? How do I know that? Well, I want you to look at the word. It says in here that he went out and he told those who had been invited the first time to come. Were they guests? No, because they did not come. They didn't show up. I just saw somebody say it. That's the whole point. Guests show up. If you send out an invitation and the person doesn't come, they're not your guest. They're nothing. That's why the scripture says later on that many are called or many are invited. If you read it in the NIV, which is another very good translation of this, many are invited, but few are chosen. Okay? God knows that we are going to choose him. God knew that before the foundations of the earth. He knew each and every one of us that was going to choose him. He sends the invitation out to the whole world, to all of humanity. But God already knows many are not going to RSVP. Amen? I think it's funny because when you put together even for the church, if you put something together and you have a congregation like ours, and you know, let's say, hey, there's 60 people here that normally gather. If we were all here, it'd be about 65 of us that are normally here if we'd all be here at one time. Out of that 65, how many might show up? Any guesses? The reality is somewhere around 35 to 40. If you would invite the entire church, you will get about 60% of the people, 60 to 65% of your people. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's in a church. In the world, we are told if you invite, say you have a wedding and you invite 100 people, do you know what my, because people ask me, "Pastor, you know, we're inviting 100 people. How many do you think are going to show up?" 70%. 70% of the people that you invite will show up, okay? So you can send out, if you really want 200 people there, send out 300 invitations. And you'll get 200 people. God has sent out an invitation to everybody in the world through the sacrifice of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And many people don't hear it. They don't want it. They have rejected it. And God is going to burn the city. God's going to send his warring angels, and they're going to destroy it all. This is Jeremiah prophecy, folks. It happened once to Israel. It's going to happen again in the end time. It's a true story. This is not a fictitious act. This is real. And God is very clear. His guests are those who are going to show up. Now, there's something really kind of neat about being one of God's guests. Because I want you to look at the world's definition. The third definition from Webster's, where it said that, you know, it's a person who pays. Like I said, that person is a patron. They are paying for what they are getting. In Christ Jesus, are you paying for what you're getting? No. Jesus paid a price that we could never pay. But I want you to look at the world. I want you to look at the people out there who are in despair and have no hope. They are paying for what they're getting. They're paying with their lives, and they're paying dearly. And they won't come to the wedding feast. The same thing happened to the first ones who were invited. They were all invited. God invites everybody. But if you choose not to come, there is consequence. Because God's a righteous God, and He gives us what we desire. And I think it's amazing. People say, yeah, but well, if God's a loving God, how comes God is destroying all these people? If God's a loving God, because God cannot allow sin to come before Him. Sin has to be covered. Sin has to be paid for. That's why the sacrificial system came out. We all do understand that the sacrificial system was literally a big sign, neon sign, flashing out there in Israel, pointing to the Savior, because the blood of bulls and calves could not take care of sin eternally. It could only take care of sin, what? Temporally, because they were temporal animals. But God, who is eternal, could pay that price because it exacted eternity, and He paid that price. The invitations that we have received have been engraven in the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you remember when we were younger the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Okay? How many of you remember all the people that were running around looking for the chocolate bars with the gold wrappers? Because that meant you got the ticket in, and one person tried to forge it, remember? And all hope was lost. And then that little boy, I can't even remember his name. It goes to show how long ago it was for me. Because, boy, he bought that one chocolate bar. And then they heard that the last one had been found. And it had dashed all his hopes. And then it came out that it was a lie. It was a forgery. And all of a sudden, Grandpa says, get the chocolate bar. Get the chocolate bar! And he opens it up. And it was funny because he just tore a little corner. Remember that? How many of us view our invitation in such a manner that we come with that much expectancy, with that much desire? It's amazing. It's there for me now. And I can remember the moment that I was saved. I can remember sitting in despair in the darkness of wanting to commit suicide. And hearing the words, I love you. Having no idea who was talking to me. Getting up, clenching my fists, ready to fight. I was ready to punch somebody out. Can you imagine punching God out? I put my fists down. I thought I was going crazy. I sat down again, and I said, God, if you're real, I need you now. And then He spoke one word that changed my life. Rich. Not Richard, not Richie, Rich. That one word, as soon as He spoke that word, I knew who He was. For His own, know His voice. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of people out there that need to hear His voice. And sometimes, just sometimes, He uses people like you and me. Because God has said it to be so. He has given us the message of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the invitation that goes out. Many are invited, but few are called. We have no idea which ones are called, so we need to get as many of those invitations out as we can. We are mailmen. Okay? Ryan understands that. Bobby understands that. We've got a parcel to deliver. And that parcel is eternal life if the person will receive it. You know, it's the same aspect of, is it a gift if it's not received? If I give you a gift and you never open it, have you received the gift? No. You've got a box, but you haven't received a gift until you open it. There's a story out there of a young man who told his dad he only wanted one thing for his graduation. He wanted a car. And his dad, at his graduation, gives him a box, and in this box was a Bible. He got so infuriated with his father that he left home and didn't talk to his dad for years and years and years. His father died, and he was in remorse, and he went back and he found the Bible and he started opening it. And when he turned to the last page, there on the back of the book was a key to a brand new car. Our Father is the giver of good gifts. In the back of the book, we win. And eternity is ours. All we have to do is show up. And I'm going to tell you right now, the web definition where it said that, you know, we're going to have to pay for this thing because we're patrons, not guests. Wrong. My dad has taken care of everything. The fatted calves are already butchered. The banquet is full. The hall is complete. He's even got our lodging lined up because that holy city is going to be up there and we're going to have a mansion inside of that place. And I'll tell you what, he's even taking care of what we're going to wear. How do I know that? I know that because of what God says in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Man, this is good preaching. I don't care what you think. Revelation 19, beginning in the sixth verse. And the Lord says unto us through his apostle, and I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Amen. Where do we get our clothes? We get those clothes from God. They have been prepared for us before the ages of time. Not our sin counted against us, but the things that we did in Christ Jesus. No, the things Christ Jesus did in us. Every time you will, I did this today. I'm going to pick on Roots. First day back, you know I got to pick on her. All right? Ruth Ann, what happened when I walked in the door? I walked out again because I walked in and Ruth Ann says, Well, it's about time. And I turned right around, walked right back. I came back in. Yes, she's back. I said, Good morning, ladies. And Joyce said, That's a redo. Aren't we glad God gives us redos? He allows us to come back and start over again and start over again and start over again because he knows we need it. He's prepared this for us for all eternity. But while we're here, we've got to get through those times and those situations to be grown because that is the coming into our righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's the good things that we do. Not because we can, but because he has made us able. Can I get an amen? He has given us the strength. He has given us the power. It's his righteousness that we wear. not our own, for we have none of our own. In fact, if you think about it, I want you to turn back to our scripture in Matthew. God tells us exactly the way things are. From verse 11, we read the truth of where things are and where things are going to be. Because I'm going to tell you right now, guests do not set the agenda. When you throw a dinner party or you invite people over to your house, when you bring somebody in, does your guest dictate to you what you're going to do or how you're going to do it? Do the people at your gathering or occasion set the boundaries, or do you set the boundaries as the host? Well, God sets the boundaries because He is the host, capital H, okay? Because He is holy, He is God alone. And according to our scriptures here, if you look at verse 11 from chapter 22, it says this. Oop, my page flipped on me. It says, but when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here's one who showed up. He actually got in the door. But when the king came to see him, he saw him in something that was not that which God had prepared for him, and that was his own righteousness. Does anybody know what the scripture says about our righteousness? It's in Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64 and 6, and it says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Our righteousness before God, the things that we do in and of our own strength, the things that we have done outside of Jesus Christ that we look at as good. You know, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of millionaires out there and a lot of wealthy people who have contributed millions and millions and literally billions of dollars to this world to build themselves a name. You know, I have to laugh because even Christendom does this. You know, I graduated from Lancaster Bible College. It's my alma mater, and I love it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the giving of funds to a place. But when they put your name on it, okay, Espenshade Hall, that was one of the dormitories at LBC. I think it may still be. I'm not sure. Who are you giving glory to? Are you giving glory to God, or are you giving glory to the financial backers? That's giving glory to the financial backers. Now, I know right now my alma mater keeps up with me. In fact, they had it in a few years ago. They had it in there that Pastor Rich Dubbs, a 2001 graduate from Lancaster Bible College, started a new church, the Heart of Christ Church. That was literally in our annual report. I couldn't believe it. I opened it up and saw my name. They keep an eye on us. So somebody there may be hearing this, and I may get a nasty letter. Suck it up, cupcake. Because the reality is, we have Trump Towers, okay? Is that a glory unto God, or is that a glory unto Donald and his millions? It is what it is. We have orphanages, we have hospitals, we have all kinds of stuff that have been donated by people. It will all burn. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags unto the Lord. And if you understand that term, you truly do know what that means. Because it means from the Old Testament that it is unclean. It is unclean, okay? Do some research into that. I'm not going to bring up what it really means. But look it up. It means that it's unclean. and it cannot come before God. So therefore, it's nothing. It's of no avail. We need to understand God has a plan. God has a purpose for each of our lives. And that plan and purpose is for God to do something miraculous. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 3. Romans 3. Again, we're thinking about what it really means to be guests. Because being a guest is a privilege. Being a guest is an honor. Being a guest is a place of high standing. You know, it doesn't mean that you're nothing. It means that you're something because you're being made into something better than you even are. Remember, the people who were worthy, those who were invited the first time, those who were considered worthy, rejected the Lord. And he said, now go out and get anybody, everybody that'll come. Strangers off the street, good and evil. Okay? And this is so amazing because now you'll understand a little bit of that when you read this in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, verse 22 through 26. Verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Excuse me, let's go back to 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as a payment, okay? As a substitution, okay? In his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, what did that just tell us? So many of us read that and we kind of blow over it because it's some pretty deep stuff. Okay? What this is telling us is even in our sin, God has looked it over. Okay? Jesus has paid a price, and through faith, by grace, we enter into a promise with him. We enter into a promise that he has paid for. We enter into a position that he has prepared. We've done nothing for it. So that at the end times, those who have not received the Lord are going to look upon us and say, yeah, but I knew that guy, and he was worthless back then. And God is going to say, yes, he was, but he believed. Do you see how important that song is that we sang today? We believe. And then to bring the Apostles' Creed, what do we believe? You know, I don't know about you, but when I read the Apostles' Creed, it doesn't say anything in there about what I did. The only thing it says in there about me is, I believe. What does it say about you? That's it. And there's a bunch of people out there who don't believe yet because they've not heard. They've not come face to face with someone who's there. They think they're okay where they are. How many of you think you're okay where you are in the moments of your despair when things are all falling apart all around you? Well, I'm okay. I'm okay. I can handle this. Yeah, I see the head shaking. No, no. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We have to call out to somebody, don't we? And, you know, I think it's amazing because we're to call out to Jesus, but do you know in calling out to Jesus, that also means to call out to your church because you're not meant to go it alone. Well, Jesus is always there. Yeah, then why do you still feel so lousy? Because sometimes God wants to put flesh on, and it may look just like me one day. It may look like Marion. Okay? It may look like Rick Heise. It may look like Say it. You got it. Because who lives in you? I think it's funny. We're the ones invited, but who's the one who really comes? Jesus. He comes into my heart. How many of you have sang that song? Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Do we really mean that? Is that where he resides? Then we are no longer our own. We are the temple of God. And we have been prepared by God through his grace that we have just read about, justified. And I think it's so funny because what does justified mean, Mary? Did you hear that? Just as if I had never sinned. That's justified. Does it say you didn't sin? No. It says God looks upon us just as if I had never sinned. And he remembers it no more. You got it. To be a guest means God takes care of everything. Everything's prepared. Everything's made ready. The only thing that hasn't been made ready is us. But when we come, he begins the work on us. I think this is funny, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, okay? When we go down to the Evangelical Association Convocation in New Braunfels, Texas, they're going to start convocation like this. They're going to open with prayer, and they're going to open with song, and then they're going to get up and give some announcements. And they're going to say, okay, we're going to open today. We're going to give some announcements, you know, get some of the house cleaning out of the way so everybody knows where everything is. Everybody take out your packet. You'll see in there's a map. You'll see in that map all the bathrooms are located on, okay, all the classrooms are located on. They give us the instructions as to where everything is. When you have guests to your house who've never been there before and you're having a dinner party, how many of you show them where the bathroom is? Because invariably, throughout the night, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to go to the bathroom to get cleaned up, to get ready, to get prepared, whatever, okay? If you're like me, I got to go clean up the messes that are on my shirt, okay? Got to go wash my hands because I swear, it doesn't matter where I am, my hands are filthy all the time, okay? I pick up dirt just by being. And it's funny because guess where we are right now? We're in the bathroom being prepared. You know, ladies, we pick on you because in the morning, how long does it take you to get out of the bathroom? Some of you are smirking right now really good. I love it, all right? I wish Miss Leslie was here because I pick on her about this a lot. She carries one suitcase wherever she goes that is just her bathroom suitcase. And yes, it's a suitcase. It's not an overnight bag. It's a suitcase, okay? Well, guess what? We're all in the bathroom getting ready. We're all getting cleaned up. Because God's working on us over time. That's called what, people? You all know it. Progressive sanctification. As we come as guests, being a guest means God sets the agenda. It means we then sit where God tells us to sit. Jesus says in the New Testament, don't go in and take the best seats. Sit in the lowly seat. And when the master comes, he may invite you to come up and sit next to him. But let that up to the master, lest you take the seat of honor and he removeth you from it. Ooh, think about that. For the first shall be last and the last shall be... Wow. None of us are perfect, and our church is a mess. Can I get an amen? All right? We are a work in progress. Remember that. You're going to start seeing it here in the next couple weeks as we put up our signs and get our stuff out. We are a work in progress, okay? And that progress takes time. God is a long-suffering God, and he gives us time because of his great love. And as we are willing to walk with God and come in, as we are willing to just show up. And there are going to be people, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, who are going to show up because we're going out there into the community. All right? I'm going to tell you all a story, and I hate to talk about this stuff, but it's the truth of it. This is how bad the church is, and you all know this. I was a member of a church. We had done some outreach, and we had some people coming into the church who were less than what we would consider honorable or whatever, I guess. I don't know. But they came into the church, and they were wearing pretty much what some of you are wearing right now. They were wearing blue jean shorts and T-shirts when they came into the church. And, you know, I didn't see anything wrong. I was grateful to have them. You know, at that point in time, I was still wearing a three-piece suit when I walked into church, all right, because I needed to graduate a little bit and realize that, you know, God's not impressed by what I wear. God's impressed on who I am and whose I am. Can I get an amen? And so we're in this church, and all of a sudden this one lady, one dear lady, wonderful saint, you know, she works in the church all the time. She's constantly there. You know, she's paying her dues. You know, she's working her way to heaven. Did you catch my drift? And she said, "Who are those people?" And she said it loud enough that they could be heard. Well, they're guests. They're people that were invited, and they've shown up because we were out, you know, inviting people to come to church. She said, "Wow, do you know who, what family they're from? We don't need people like that here." That was in a church. I thought to myself, you know, you're right. You're right. We don't need people like that here. I need to take those people and go start a real church because this one certainly isn't one. And it amazes me, because brothers and sisters, we've got to break that mold, don't we? We've got to get out of that, because I'm telling you right now, if you think this pastor's perfect, if you think I'm all that, you are wrong, and I will prove it, okay? Not on purpose. I'm going to mess up somewhere along the line in your life. We lost a couple in the church because I didn't do what they expected. Well, number one, I didn't have the opportunity to do what they expected. And it was just an excuse for them to go. Praise God, I'll bless them on the way out. You know, it's his kingdom, it ain't mine. If you're wanting me to save you, guess what? You're lost already. The only one who can save us is who? Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeking him every time I'm in this building. I'm seeking him every time I'm in your presence. Because that's church. Church isn't a building. Can I get an amen on that? Church is the gathering. And we have gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we show up, guess what? God does his best work, because that's the only time he will work, is when we show up. God is not going to work on you outside of himself. Now, is that 100% true? No. Because the Holy Spirit is out there trying to call everyone who would come, all right? Think about your life and how you came to Christ. God was working on you before you became a Christian. Can I get an amen? And that's God's work. But when it came time, what did you do? You believed and you showed up, which means you received the invitation and you came at the appointed time. We are now guests. Next week, we're going to find out what it means to be invited. Because I'll guarantee you, it's the biggest aspect of we come as guests invited. Okay? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have given to us. We thank you for the glory that is yourself. We thank you, Lord God, that we can call ourselves guests because you have given us that ability. You have made it so. Nothing we have done, Lord God, but everything you have done. For you have given us that right. You have given us that privilege. You have given us that honor that makes us whole and wholly thine. For you have paid our price. You have paid our admission. You have canceled our debt. And now we stand in your presence as children saved by grace and believing by faith. And Lord, none of that is our own, but it is yours poured out upon us that we would receive and be children of God. In Jesus Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.